The number one relief pitcher, according to the Shredder, is Liam Hendricks. Hendricks turning his career around comes off back-to-back years now at a new, higher level of performance. Last year in the short season, he had 37 strikeouts, only three walks in 25-plus innings, all with a 1.78 ERA. Hendricks is entering his age 32 season, and he has turned himself into the number one player at his position.
Alrighty, yeah, so the White Sox just added the best relief pitcher in all of baseball, and it's a former Twin, Liam Hendricks. So we'll talk about that on a Twins Tuesday. And also, we're bringing back one of our fun segments from the old radio show days, Ask Mackie and Judd. We're going to bring that back on Tuesday. So if you have questions about literally anything at all, it could be sports, could be Judd's home lifestyle, it could be anything, you can send us those questions via Twitter, at Phil Mackey, at Jay Zolget, at Dex's Tweets, and we will stockpile them for Tuesdays. Dex reviews today.
We do.
Potential Vikings quarterback of the future. We'll talk about all sorts of things today. But let's shout out Federated Mutual Insurance Company here, a partner of the Mackey and Judd Show and Purple Daily for a number of years. And as a business owner, if you're out there listening, how helpful would it be for you to have employee training at your fingertips, industry resources that can help your business reach another level of success? That's why Federated Mutual Insurance Company recently launched MyShield, the online client destination for risk management resources. MyShield has resources to help your business with all sorts of things related to risk management, safety training and videos, customizable risk management plans, workplace posters, employee handbook builders, and much, much more. Find out more about MyShield by going to federatedinsurance.com or by downloading the app. You can also just talk to your Federated Insurance marketing representative today. Contact information at federatedinsurance.com. At Federated, it's always our business to protect yours.
TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and scorenorth.com.
Jones flips it to him. Devontae headed for the end zone. And Alabama back on top.
First and goal, Jones on the run, and it's just too easy for Devontae Smith. Jones steps up right down the middle of the field. It's touchdown. Devontae Smith cannot be stopped. A truly special performance by the Heisman Trophy winner.
All right, boys, before we get into our Twins Tuesday discussion.
Oh, well, that's going to be fun.
My God.
Really like what the Twins are doing.
Crickets.
Makeover is fantastic. Crickets. 0-18.
Meanwhile, the White Sox just adding flamethrowers, just sprinting down the backstretch.
Yeah, the Twins' aggressiveness has just been great this winter.
Dex will review a potential future Vikings quarterback. Rumor has it Randy in Cottage Grove went on an eHarmony date recently.
Good for him.
So we'll talk to him. We'll wrap with Ricey.
Would not think of that he'd be an eHarmony guy, but I look forward to hearing. You know what?
I think he's banned from some of the other ones.
Yeah.
Really?
Farmers Only, I feel like, put a blockade on
Christian
him.
Mingle?
Yeah, I think he's out on that one, too.
He's out on that one,
He doesn't
too.
Have Christian values.
No.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, join the club.
Yep.
Now Parler's gone, too, so he can't be on that.
Well, that's less of a dating site, but I'm sure some people used it as a dating site.
Oh, hell yeah.
Sneak into your DMs.
This is America
on
2021. Are you kidding? Oh, hey, we like a lot of the same stuff here at Parler.
Instead of sneaking into the DMs like Declan does and saying, you up? You just sneak in and say, America.
Insurrection. Yeah.
But we have a very important question to pose off the top of the show after watching that snooze fest of a national championship game last night.
No, yeah.
Does college football suck as much as I think it does right now? It's unwatchable.
Let me break this down into two parts, okay? Because Judd likes to wake up on a fall Saturday and go downstairs and flip on the multitude of college football games. And I enjoy that. So that does not suck. Does the college football postseason suck? Absolutely. Absolutely. And yes, that game last night was the poster child for everything that's wrong with this sport. Number one, the game itself. I don't care if it's the greatest game of all time. It's way too long. This halftime thing has to be cut. This is 2021. Our attention spans are shot. What are you doing? And just keep in mind, the last time that I complained about halftime, I was told it's for the band so they can play because the band. Okay, the bands. bands did also weren't at the game last night.
Listen,
okay,
it does take a while to warm up the horn section. Okay, just
okay.
Some, former trombonist. But, yeah,
but those
have some respect.
Those young people were all left at home because of COVID. Okay, so we didn't have bands. We didn't have bands last night. The time of these college football games is ridiculous, and that's true all year long. But yes, college football, as far as the predictability, as far as who's going to be good, the National Football League, I think, is worthy of criticism because they try to sell parity as this great thing when it means a lot of really average to below average games, I think. But that being said, at least when a National Football League playoffs Sunday starts, you really do have questions about who is going to win the majority of games. Right, Phil?
Yes.
Like, you start a day saying, I think the Seahawks will beat the Rams, but I'm not sure. And then, lo and behold, the Rams win. That game last night was just another example of the predictability of the teams, of how the game is going to go. So, yes, college football does stink. And I see that people are now, in fact, I think Scoggins wrote a column in Star Tribune about this today, are jumping on what I said a few years back, which is I think the college football playoff needs to be expanded just to involve more teams and sometimes new teams. I want you guys to go first. But, gents, I think we're beyond that. I have a way to fix this sport.
Okay.
Mr. Fixit. Right.
Put a pin
but
in
you
that.
You guys go first.
Another buzz phrase from 2020. Put a pin in that. We'll circle back.
Circle back.
In a second here.
We'll
pivot.
Go offline for now, though, okay?
We'll
yeah.
Let's take this offline.
Yep.
So I love also waking up on Saturday morning, and even as disappointing as the Gopher football team has largely been in my lifetime outside of like a small handful of seasons, I love the anticipation of Gophers games, and I love going down 2-3 times a year and hitting the tailgate lots and having a good time, day drinking. Like, yeah. I love bellying up at a bar on a Saturday when COVID's not raging and watching college football games. And so I think as I talk this through, I love the college football lifestyle, if you will.
Pageantry.
I love the vibe of it.
I agree.
I love the pageantry is a great word. And I love a lot of the competition and the games in the non-playoff realm, like a big game in November with a trip to the Big Ten championship game on the line. Like, I love that. But I don't love that Clemson and Alabama and then, like, LSU every 5 years and Ohio State. I don't love that, like, five teams have just monopolized half of the NFL players. And then even among those five teams, there's a gap. Like, Ohio State is in that group of five, but they're not the same as Alabama. Mm-hmm. And it kind of depends on year to year, right? Like, Clemson is in that group, but they weren't the same as LSU last year. And so it's almost become just, like, entirely too top-heavy to be interesting at the highest level. But when all the other teams are playing and competing, it's sort of fun. And it's flawed enough. You don't have, like, 12 NFL players, you know, among the defensive and offensive starters. And some people are saying, well, you know, UConn's dynasty in women's basketball, and when women's basketball has been so top heavy over the years, and it's Tennessee, it's been UConn, Tennessee like 10 years ago, UConn and Notre Dame and, you know, maybe another school, that puts women's basketball on the map because now it's like, whoa, well, look what Gina Auriemma is doing. And I would say for a sport that had zero attention on it 20 years ago, a dynasty helps give it attention. College football has all the attention it needs. We want it to be more fun to watch and competitive. So I don't know what the fix is. Judd has a fix for it. If you made it an 18 playoff or a 16 team playoff, it would be fun leading up to the point where Alabama slaughters everybody.
Right.
Like,
that's the problem.
Like
exactly.
The 4 seed versus the 5 seed, that's a fun game.
Yeah.
The 6 versus the 3, that's a pretty fun game. Alabama versus anybody is not a fun game. So
coming up next, it's Alabama against Liberty. Just wait for this exciting upstart Liberty team to take on Alabama. It's 56-0 after one quarter. We'll be back after this.
Yeah.
So you're right.
Well, let me add one more thing, too, because I think a lot of people are going to say, well, Mackie, aren't you a big NBA fan? That's kind of hypocritical if you love the NBA and the predictability of the NBA. And the NBA playoffs have been largely predictable, especially like when you know that LeBron, Wade, and Bosh are on a team together. But the NBA sort of changes. You don't have like the Miami Heat for 20 right. years just running roughshod over the entire league. Exactly. And I would even argue now that, like, obviously the Lakers are the team to beat, but there's like five or six teams. The Heat made it to the finals. The NBA has become a little bit less leaning toward, like, well, the Warriors are just going to win 100 games.
It's not
and the
same
playoffs.
Team year after year after year. That's exactly right.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the teams that have won or have competed in the national championship game since the playoffs started 7 years ago. Alabama or Clemson have been in every single one of the games except for the first one.
It's 28 teams and like 21 have been repeats, right?
Yep. So it's
ridiculous.
Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson.
Yep.
Let me see here. So there's been 14. If you take the 7 years times two teams each of the 7 years, that's 14 slots in the national championship game, okay? Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson occupy 11 of the 14 spots occupied yes. by Alabama, Clemson, or Ohio State.
Yes.
LSU last year, Oregon the first year got beat,
yep.
and then Georgia in 2018
so here's what
are the
gets
only
me,
three other slots.
So if that is going to be the case, at a minimum, I need consistently close games, right? We don't get those. Like sometimes,
we did like 4 years ago.
Yes. But I mean, if you look at the average margin of victory in the college football playoff, including all of the playoff games, it's ridiculous at times. So at least give me three super compelling games, yeah. like really close, hard fought, but they're not.
Or give me the Gophers. If the Gophers want to get beat by 50 by Alabama, I will happily take that slap on the ass.
Your team's got no shot. So here's my fix, though. Because I don't think expanding the playoff actually fixes the problem, because Phil's right. Okay, it's an expanded playoff. It's been great fun, and now Cincinnati has snuck through to play Clemson, and now it's a 50-point game. I think college football needs not a salary cap, which probably could help too, but they need a scholarship cap that goes down to including 5 stars and 4 stars.
Who's the official rater, though? Is it
where you only yeah. get? Well, this is going to have to be. Look, I am embarking on.
These are just high level ideas. These are high level ideas.
I am throwing out to you, the committee, an idea that hit me moments ago. But expanding the playoff does not fix the ultimate problem, which is how do we get to the game last night and, for the most part, make sure it's damn good, right? So my point being, though, is what's the problem? Bama basically goes and gets every kid that they want. It needs to be capped at some point. We need to disperse talent because there's still good programs. I'm not disabling Ohio State.
There should be a draft.
Well, that's
Can you
fine.
Just draft high school players?
That's fine, too.
That'd be awesome.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That's fine, too. But my point is we need to at least have a fighting chance to disperse talent of players through more programs.
Well, I mean, a draft would be hilarious because then it would just be a professional league at that point.
Yeah. But it is, anyway.
We don't care what your family situation is, kid. We don't care what you want to major in. You're drafted by Texas Tech, and they don't have the program that
How
you
about
want,
trades?
But that's okay.
Trades, too.
It would be amazing. But these are also 18-year-old kids, too.
I don't care. I can't play there, Mom and Dad. Well, that's fine, because we're going to force you, Jimmy, to force a trade from Mr. Saban's Alabama team.
Here's something amazing on the recruiting front. I'm looking at the 2021 college football recruiting rankings, according to 247sports.com. Predictably, for 2021, Alabama and Ohio State are the top two recruiting schools. Clemson's fourth behind Georgia. LSU's fifth. Like, it's for people that say, well, recruiting's a crapshoot. Well, it's kind of a crapshoot, but if you happen to get, like, 40 five-star recruits on your roster over a four-year period, five might flame out, and that's fine. You still have 35.
Right.
Like, so Alabama, just to put this into context, the Gophers, a Power 5 school, and I would even say, like, they've emerged over the years with Glenn Mason and Jerry Kill and PJ Fleck. It's been at least 20 years since the Gophers have been an embarrassment, right? Like, the Gophers have been competitive, not top end.
Brewster, so 15 years.
Probably. Okay, Brewster was an embarrassment.
On the field, yeah.
You're right. Brewster gave a four-year embarrassment. But, like, of the last 20 years, 15 have been respectable enough. They're going to bowl games.
Yeah, they're not joking.
They're popping up once in a while, like going to a New Year's bowl game a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Gophers are, they're not a doormat anymore. They're a competitive Power 5 school. They never get five-star recruits.
Correct.
Period. Like, I don't remember them ever getting
and
a five-star
And four-stars are hard to get.
If the Gophers in a year get a four-star recruit or two, it's like a big year in recruiting for the Gophers. I think PJ... Let's see here. I think the Gophers might have. So PJ has actually recruited for 2021 five four-star guys.
Okay, that's a huge
which
year.
Is like the biggest recruiting year ever. It's they're ranked 27th in recruiting and commits
but how do
for
we,
next year.
How do we balance this out is my question. Because that, I don't care about the schools and I don't care about the kids. I care about me as a fan.
Well, here, to
like, it's a big business here. So don't give me, well, he's 18. I don't care. If you choose to play Division I college football, you are entering my world.
So to your point about balance, okay? So keep that number in mind. The Gophers have five four-star recruits for the first time, I think, ever in the history of the program that I can remember. Alabama has seven five-star recruits going into next year.
Yep.
And 15 four-star recruits.
Yeah. That's absurd.
No, but therein lies the problem.
They don't even entertain three and two-star recruits. Like those guys are just there to like fill out
the water boys.
The practice squad or whatever it would be called in college football.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, short of literally just turning it into a minor league and saying, "All right, well, we're going to make this more fair across the board, across the Power Five." I don't know how you can prevent somebody from wanting to go to the MIT of football schools, right?
Well, yeah, but I would like to see a draft or rules, and before anybody says you can't do that, keep in mind, okay, as far as the big business of college sports and football in particular go. Last night we completed a season in which they essentially forced these teams and these kids to play through a pandemic, okay? We can do whatever we want to them. Like this is not that is an unethical thought, Judd. We just had these guys essentially, while the majority, I believe, of colleges throughout the country are having their kids learn from home, we just had the majority of these young men show up on a daily basis to practice and then play football, okay? So don't tell me there's nothing that can be done. Yes, there is. We need to find a way, though. This doesn't mean that Bama can't be really good. It does mean that at some point in time, the list that Phil just gave us of five-star and four-star recruits really should be dispersed more to other teams throughout the country.
I mean, Alabama literally has, and we've seen it with, like Jalen Hurts is a starting NFL quarterback. I don't know what's going to happen now that Doug Peterson's gone. Like now they basically have two guys to figure it out. And Jalen Hurts was just relegated to the bench at Alabama because they had a better quarterback.
Yep.
He was like maybe the third best quarterback in the country and he's just on the bench. They literally have four and five star guys that are just backups because they don't have enough room to play them.
Mm-hmm.
So the moral of the story is college football sucks at the highest levels right now, even though it's wildly talented.
But that's why we're here to fix it, Phil.
Sure.
This show fixes
Phil Mackey, Judd Zogad.
That's the worst idea you've ever had. You've had some bad ideas. That's the worst one.
Okay. Other things to fix. Let's get to Twins Tuesday here.
Wait. What's wrong there? I mean, nothing's going on. How can something be wrong?
Oh, things are going on. Things are going on, just not with the Twins. Last night, news came across Liam Hendricks. And by the way, if you've been just a casual baseball fan and maybe you followed the Twins like 10 years ago and you're like, wait a second. Did my audio glitch? Did my earbuds just buzz out there for a second? Did you say Liam Hendricks? Liam Hendricks has become one of the top three or four relievers in all of baseball over the last couple of years. He's in his early 30s now. He now throws 100 miles an hour and has posted ERAs below two. And he just signed a $54 million contract. It's kind of a weird contract, but it's $54 million over 4 years, right?
Yes.
With the Chicago White Sox to be their new closer. Right. The White Sox also earlier this offseason made a trade for another former Twin, who we sort of laugh at, Lance Lynn, who's been great with every team except the Twins.
Classic.
And he's 33 years old. He was with the Rangers last year. So the White Sox have bolstered the rotation. They've added one of the best relief pitchers in all of baseball. And they have one of the best groups of young players in all of baseball emerging into their primes right now. And the Twins are still waiting on Nelson Cruz to decide if there's a DH in the National League. How mad at the Twins should we be right now for their? Now, they signed Josh Donaldson, I think, later in January last year.
Yeah.
And they traded for Kenta Maeda.
Yeah,
like, they make moves later sometimes.
Yeah.
But this is sort of frustrating to watch the White Sox, I think, become the clear-cut favorites in this division by being aggressive.
So I didn't see that there must have been a memo of some sort issued during the past few weeks or past few months regarding the fact that if your team name is not the Padres, the White Sox, or the Mets, that you simply can't make moves that improve your team. I don't know if mad is the right word. I think if you're a Cleveland fan and just saw Lindor traded to the Mets, I think you're probably disappointed and mad. I think if you're a Twins fan, you're probably just a little bit perplexed as to why you can't go out and work out a deal with Cruz. Like, I understand that because of the pandemic, the odds of the Twins going out and signing a deal like the White Sox did with Hendricks is probably not going to happen. I can rationalize that one. But, I mean, Nelson Cruz is there. He liked playing here. You would think that they could work out a one or, heck, two-year contract, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess when it comes to the Twins, I'm not necessarily mad. I'm a little bit more perplexed. But this is also just, and this goes aside from, again, the Padres, the White Sox, and the Mets, this is also just such a terrible look as far as nothing going on. You know, we don't know the rules. We don't know who's going to be playing for whom. We saw that Manfred came out yesterday and talked about, well, we're still planning on starting spring training in February and playing 162. And I say back to that, so who cares at this point in time? So I'm just more perplexed and befuddled by the fact that a team like the Twins, which is coming off back-to-back division titles, Phil, but has lost 18 consecutive playoff games, just seems to be standing there and saying, we'll do something eventually.
Yeah, I'm sort of torn here because the offseason isn't over. I don't think we're going to have time for a Mackey baseball rant today because we have other things we're going to get to, but there's a Buster Olney article that will still be relevant for next week's Twins Tuesday that says a slow, cold offseason could get even slower and colder because teams didn't bring in as much revenue, and some of the teams that would have spent anyways have already filled some of their holes, and so I get that there's kind of a standoff here, but Jim Polad went on the record with the Star Tribune earlier this offseason. And he was asked about payroll, and he said, I'm paraphrasing here, he said he didn't think that there was going to have to be, like, that the losses in revenue weren't going to have a drastic impact on payroll. So the Twins right now, according to Spotrac.com, are tied up for, looks like about $80 million. And then if you add in, I can't tell if they're adding in the minimum wage, quote unquote, players or not here. And that kind of affects the math. But anywhere between like 80 and 90 some million dollars they're tied up in. They spent $140 million before the pandemic on that team last year. And then it got prorated down because they only played like 58 games or whatever it was. So I have two questions. One, are you going to spend money up to a certain point? I get that you probably have to come down from 140 because you didn't have any fans in the stands last year. So I get that reality. You're not just going to lose $50 million. Like, people can debate that all they want. Well, they're billionaires. Well, but they run businesses, and there's no such thing as a professional sports owner that just takes losses year after year. Like, that's the reality. So on one hand, are you guys just not going to, are you waiting for Nelson Cruz? Like, what are you willing to spend? But if the answer on that front is not very much, to be honest, okay, well, you have a ton of prospects you could trade from a bin of. And Blake Snell was out there as a playoff caliber ace, right?
And cheap, too.
It makes $11 million a year.
Relatively very cheap.
There are trades to be made, I would think. And so I get that there are circumstances preventing teams financially from doing what they ordinarily would have done and from doing what the Twins did last winter, which is go get Josh Donaldson for $100 million.
Yep.
So I get that. But on the other side, you have a chance to do something with this core. Like, you keep winning divisions, and you keep, and I'm going to go back 20 years, like, because there's been different iterations of this same thing. You win divisions, you've got a great young nucleus, A lot of it's homegrown, and maybe you've supplemented here and there with a trade or free agency, and you just need like that one thing to get you over the top. And the Twins always get to that point in the game, whether it's Terry Ryan, Bill Smith, or Derek Falvey and Thad Levine, who I love those guys as front office operators, and they always stop short. Once they get to that point in the game, they always fold their hand. Don't do that anymore. Make an aggressive move. The White Sox are doing it. I get they have more payroll flexibility because it's Chicago and it's a bigger market, more TV revenue. But you guys, you have a chance to do something here. Don't just sit on your hands this offseason.
I'm more mad at baseball. Right? My ire right now is reserved for the sport. I'm more mad. Like, if it was just the Twins, that's fine. And we could debate it and we could discuss it. But Rob Manfred, at every turn, and I mean, this is not obviously breaking news, at every turn has screwed the pooch here. And I mean, again, here we sit. Like, I can't necessarily get mad at one team when the entire sport is basically like, well, we got through 60 games last year and we'll figure it out again. And the agreement with players is coming up before 2022. And that has not been broached yet. And I am more mad at the entire sport and how it's being run. And in particular, how, again, a sport that we all love is being run into the ground. That pisses me off way more than anything to do with the Twins.
Me too. And all right, well, since you cut open that vein, this is the article from Buster Olney, ESPN.com. It's an insider article, so it's exclusive paid content I'm going to give you right here, everybody. That's right. I'm letting you borrow my login for this segment. So he says, he sort of lays out...
Mac Daddy? Password Mac Daddy?
Yes, with an at
Mac
sign
Daddy
for the A.
69, yeah.
6969, actually. I had to change it, make it a little bit harder to break into. At the contractual rate of roughly $1 million a start, Gerrit Cole is in line to make $20 million by August if baseball has a full season. So it says a lot about how slow this offseason has been, that 2.5 months into this winter, there has been exactly one free agent signing of a Major League Baseball veteran worth $20 million. Think about this, though. There is an industry-wide suspicion that the slow and cold free agent market is about to go sub-zero, even slower, because of who has been involved in the biggest deals so far and the choices that were made in those trades. And so they're looking at some of the teams that have made trades and say, well, they've already fixed their needs, and so they're not going to spend money. Trevor Bauer, Jake Odorizzi, George Springer, JT Realmuto, DJ LeMahieu, just to name a few. Nelson Cruz should be on this list. Those are all guys sitting out there that should be big money free agents. So here's the problem. Number one, baseball, and it's not just a pandemic thing, because baseball is going to say, I mean, we took such a bath. You know, we rely on ticket sales and all these things that we're not bringing revenue in last year. And so what do you want us to do? We're not going to just like take a $50 million loss as a franchise. And I get that. But the NBA took a bit of a bath last year. The NFL took a huge bath with ticket sales. They have bigger TV deals than baseball does. And I guarantee you, once the NFL league year starts, those free agents are going to pop off the board.
Of course.
Those guys are going to, you know why? Because they have a salary cap and they have a salary floor. And so and the NBA has both too. You have to spend a certain amount of money and then you can only spend so much. There's framework. And so even if that framework comes down, like the NFL's might come down, everybody knows what the top free agents roughly are supposed to make. Baseball has been a wild, wild west in this area. Forever, for decades, there's never been a salary cap. And I don't think you can have a hard salary cap like you do in other sports because baseball is so dependent on local revenue. The Yankees would say, wait a second, we bring in $600 million. The Rays bring in $100.
Yeah, but that's the key.
Why should we have to subsidize them, right? That's what they would say.
Yeah.
So they have to figure all this out. But baseball needs to come up with some framework, whether it's like individual player framework caps, so that we're not going to sit here and have a Trevor Bauer staring contest until April. That's what's going to happen. Bauer's going to sit there and say, well, I'm a $30 million pitcher. And the owners are going to say, well, you were before the pandemic. And Bauer's like, you're still billionaires, and you're going to fill the seats at some point. And the owners are going to be like, na-na-na-na-boo-boo.
Yeah, we're not going
to,
yeah.
And they're just going to stare at each other.
That's exactly.
There needs to be framework. And not only does there need to be framework for those reasons, there needs to be framework if you want your offseason to be an entertaining content hook for young people. What's the most fun thing about the NBA? The offseason and player movement and rumors and James Harden and all this stuff.
July 1st.
Baseball doesn't have that. I mean, it does once in a while when Pujols 10 years ago signs a big deal in December or whatever it was.
That's changed now.
Yeah. So, end rant, but it just infuriates me that baseball doesn't focus on fixing these things.
But baseball, my problem is I genuinely don't think baseball cares that much about what ails it. I don't think they get it. I don't think that they have a commissioner who is committed to fixing that. Baseball has a commissioner who's committed to serving the people who employ him, the owners. And that is Manfred's day-to-day goal. And his goal, I guarantee you, Phil, his goal is going to be when the CBA expires in 1 year, his goal is going to be to win and beat up on the Players Association as much as he can. And we're going to have a lockout or we're going to have a strike. But the point is, when the end goal is not to make the game as accessible and as fun and as relevant in today's terms as possible,
yeah,
you've got problems.
Yep.
You've got problems. And my guy Bettman's, I don't think, very good, but he is a visionary compared to what baseball is doing right now. He is a visionary. I mean, seriously, name me one thing that Manfred's done that has been done for the good of the game. Yeah. That's still in place.
You know what? So I just wrote a list of three things, and I'll cross-reference it with your Bettman take there. The hot take police, by the way, are going to sit on their hands for this one.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a hot take. Insert joke about police sitting on their hands.
There's a lot of places we could go with that. They're opening the doors for me at the National Hockey League.
Jeez. So
him evacuated the fans.
This is sort of like the 30,000-foot, if you're diagramming a blueprint for a professional sports league to succeed from as big picture as you can, you need an entertaining playoff system that is just gripping, right? Like, that's your main event. You need your playoff system to be entertaining in some way.
Okay.
You need the regular season games to be entertaining and watchable so that you're not just, like, flying in for a game or two here and there, but that you're, like, regularly watching games and those are entertaining. And then you need an off season that's really entertaining. That's how you really own a sports calendar. And if you go down the hockey checklist, playoffs, wildly entertaining, right?
Yes.
It's like one of the most fun tournaments.
Best part of the sport.
It's unpredictable. A lot of the series, because the teams are so closely matched, go 6 and 7 games. And you get these overtimes of just like the game could end at any time. And hockey's not my favorite sport or my favorite playoff, but like it is wildly entertaining. And the playoffs hook casual fans more than maybe any other sport ratio-wise. Regular season games. Well, Gary Bettman at some point said, you know what would make these regular season games more fun? Let's end them quicker, and let's put a shootout on the end, and let's create a point system that clusters the teams together more by giving a moral victory point. And we can debate whether that should take place or not. But he has made the regular season more entertaining by keeping more teams in the hunt for a playoff spot. And again, like you guys might fight me on that, but it's more entertaining.
But the games are fun, too.
Yep. And then the offseason, well, I mean, it's just a barrage of signings. It's just like the NBA. In 1 5-day period when free agency opens, it's like bang, 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 trades, free agents, right? Let's use that same checklist for baseball.
Okay.
Offseason, total dud.
Oh, awful.
The winter meetings used to be the place where all these deals got done.
And it used to be great hot stove.
And now it's like negotiations drag on. It's like a 5-month just absolute death march. And then, you know, Bryce Harper signs the third week in spring training or something.
Yep.
Like there's not like a week of flurry activity. Oh my God, the Twins made all their moves
there's
in a
nothing,
week.
There's nothing, right?
No.
Like, there's basically nothing.
There's just sporadic signings and trades for five
on
months.
On the Monday night of the national championship college football game, a guy signs.
It's not an event.
No.
It needs to be an event.
But it's just arbitrary, hey, on Thanksgiving night, somebody signed.
Yes. Like in the NBA and the NHL, free agency takes place about the same time. It's like the first or second week in July. And so, and maybe they lucked their way into this, but they said, well, what else is happening the first or second week in July? Nothing. In fact, baseball is taking a break the second week in July.
Mm-hmm.
What if we put our most fun off-season thing, make it an event, make it 1 week basically, and it's 1 week because everyone knows what the structure is, right? Guys are just going to sign.
Right.
So by having structure, you make it an event, and it's 1 week, and it's super fun, and it hooks people.
basketball brilliantly floats things.
They do.
Like,
yes.
They spend a ton of time calling
rumors.
Woj and being like, this might not happen, but.
Yes, they lean into it.
Which is really smart because fans love that stuff.
Yep.
We
100%. And then, so baseball, offseason, it's a dud.
Yep.
Regular season, the game, like, extra inning games pop up once every week or two, and you don't know when they're going to end. The games take 3.5 hours. I do like some of the things they were experimenting with. Runner on second base to start extra innings. Put a DH in both leagues, which Judd might fight, but like, we're appealing to the masses here. What's going to make these games more fun? Make them snappier. Yep. Put a DH in instead of a pitcher hitting, and just, they've got a lot of work to do on that front. I would say also make your sport the most accessible sport on smartphones. There should be no issues with, like, can we get Fox Sports North or not on YouTube TV? Like, I should just be able to watch a Twins game anywhere I want on any device at any time with no barriers to entry. They should just make it widely available.
Agreed.
It's a sport that's on every single night. I should just be able to be at a restaurant, boom, pop my phone up. Well, you can if you're subscribed to Xfinity. I mean, like, make it available to anybody, right?
One-touch shopping.
Yep. And then the third thing, playoffs entertaining. I love the baseball playoffs, but I would love them more if they had a one-week wild card playoff tournament, like a must-watch. Every game is urgent. Every game is a do-or-die. And then you get into, like, the second and third rounds and then the World Series round. But, like, even make that more of an event, too. And instead, they're doing the same thing they were doing 20 years ago and 50 years ago, just with a couple more teams. And they're basically running right into the heart of football season, too. So, like, you can see these three things, offseason, regular season, playoffs. How are you maximizing them? The NHL is doing a better job of maximizing
those
three
things. Yes, my guy Bettman. Supposedly, spring training is about to start, supposedly. And right now, we do not know what the playoff rules or structure would be.
Oh,
for the
ridiculous.
Season.
That's amazing.
For the season, you would have teams taking the field in Arizona and Florida to begin preparing to hopefully make a playoff system that they don't know how it's going to go.
Yep.
They don't even know at this point in time how many teams would be allowed in that playoff system.
Yep.
Think about that for a second.
And, you know, and like the fact that you had these things last year too, universal DH and a runner on second base, that were pretty exciting. And at, like, the runner on second base to me to start extra innings, it adds some must watch because you're kind of thinking, oh, this game's going to end. This game could end at any time. A base hit to the outfield.
Yeah,
ends the game.
Yeah,
right?
So it's fun.
A wild pitch.
And strategy,
the game.
Too.
Yep.
It costs strategy.
And so you kind of stumble into this.
Yeah.
And instead of saying, yep, instead of universally everyone saying, yep, you know what? I know that old school fans are going to kind of bristle at this, but this makes the game more urgent and fun.
Yep.
They can't even agree on that. It's so
dumb.
So let
me give you the dumbest of the dumb. It's this.
This is great, by the way.
This
is very therapeutic.
This is the stupidest thing. The National League DH, everybody, for the most part, wants it, right? The people that own the team, the players for sure, because it creates way more valuable jobs. So they all agree, let's do it. And then Manfred and the owners come back to the Players Association and said, yeah, but if we're going to give you more jobs, we need something back. And the players are like, hold on a second. You want this, right? And they're like, oh, yeah. But we need something back. I mean, what you're getting back is a better product, more excitement.
Yes.
Fans like it. I mean, I will say this. How do you explain to a teenage baseball fan? Okay, here's the deal. The National League and American League, they're both in the major leagues. But they have a different set of rules as to who hits.
But why is that, Uncle Judd?
I don't know. I mean, like, this would be like if the conferences in football had a different offensive sets. Okay. In the National Football Conference, there is no running back allowed.
And five downs.
But in the American Football Conference, it's four downs and a running back.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
But the owners and players both want this, and the owner's default is, yeah, but to do it, we need something back.
Yeah. Rob Manfred is as many flaws as Bud Selig had, and Bud Selig had a lot of flaws because he essentially oversaw the most stained era in baseball history. But you know what? It was the most fun era in baseball history. Rob Manfred is without hyperbole, the worst major four leagues commissioner of my lifetime. He is. And most of it's just because of his complete inaction and his complete lack of innovation. In 2020, he started the year. This is before all this stuff. He started the year by not suspending the key players involved in, I would say, you can talk about the Black Sox scandal from 100 years ago where they were throwing games and stuff. Like, the Black Sox were, I think they threw the World Series so another team could win it, right? Isn't that what happened?
Yes.
The Houston Astros cheated their way to their own World Series championship and cost a couple pitchers jobs along the way that otherwise maybe would have been major leaguers. And those guys didn't get suspended. Like, so he started the year before all these other ridiculous mishaps.
He promised them they wouldn't be suspended if they would rat out people.
Yes. So that was very therapeutic.
But that's why I'm pissed off.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to get upset at the Twins when the entire sport makes me want to puke.
Yeah. Make baseball fun. Make baseball fun again. And stop being so nervous about losing the old traditional fan. Like, you know what? The old traditional fan's going to watch baseball still. They're going
to
watch baseball
still. Just get your act together. It's not even fun to me. It's just get your act together. Have a plan. Don't want a rule and then fight it if you don't get exactly back what you want back.
Randy in Cottage Grove.
When were you born? If you said he was the worst guy in your lifetime,
yeah, I was born in 1985 myself.
Okay, so you don't remember Tagliabue?
I do remember Paul Tagliabue.
He was awful. He watered down the game.
I mean, did he? I mean, Paul Tagliabue
football been pretty successful. Randy
was the commissioner
watered it down. I mean, some of these wuss, you know, kind of rules that they got their start in his era. As far as like, you know, how you can and can't hit. You know, it used to be a tough game. You know, Tagliabue just kind of started that whole water it down thing.
Concussion guy, huh? Randy, I said you're a concussion guy.
I've had a couple. One not from football. One from softball and one from bowling.
That's surprising.
Softball. Speaking of softball, you want to make, you know, baseball a little more exciting. Take a look at some of the guys kind of at the highest level of, you know, the softball. They got a lot of flair. They're not just flipping bats. They're chucking them. Matter of fact, we got a guy in our team who does the, it's kind of a more younger thing than me, like the crotch chop.
Oh, the Degeneration X crotch chop.
Yeah,
huh?
If he hits a tater, he'll take a little look at, he'll watch it first off.
Yeah, break it down.
And then take a look at the other bench, and you know, if you've been there before, you don't round the bases. You touch first, you go back to the bench.
You know, when I used to play softball for a couple of years out of college, and then I retired, I believe, with a .750 softball batting average. One of the great.
You didn't retire. You
ever.
Quit on your team because.
All right, I retired.
You got mad at your team.
You batted .750. You might want to dust it off. That's pretty good.
It is pretty good. I know.
It's all right. Yeah.
So I would walk up to the plate. I would walk up to the plate with the Triple H entrance music and two water bottles, and I would chug them and pour them all over my body and my hair, and then I would do three crotch chops before stepping into the batter's box.
It's all about the game.
Yeah. Well, how you play it.
My favorite in a big spot. You know, I kind of tell our guys as a manager, you know, I got your back. You want to do something a little edgy, a little zesty. One guy, I told him, I said, you do what you want. I got you. I got you covered. And he turned, he hit a big fly, and it was a no doubter. And he looked at the other bench and gave him the double deuce, two birds.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And that's the kind of thing baseball needs, you know, just flipping off, go for it. You know, it would be a lot more popular than you think. You know, whatever his name is, Manny Rodriguez or whoever, hits a home run and turn to the other bench and flip him off.
Did you just make up a baseball name there?
Yeah. Well,
Manny Ramirez, he meant.
Manny Rodriguez?
Or did you mean Alex Rodriguez?
Yeah, there it is, Ramirez. You know, he hits a big fly.
Thanks, Randy.
Go ahead and flip him off. Flip off the fans if it's a road game.
Feel like you just picked two Hispanic sounding names there and put them together. But
I don't think flipping off the fans would be a really solid idea for improving the popularity of your game.
I don't follow baseball. Here and there, I'll do a, you know, like a Twin stud stable just as a, you know, out of generosity. But it's not exciting enough. I love softball because people get after it and they yell and they cuss.
Yeah. Hey, how was saw your tweet at RandyVikes69. You said, I have a great date today from eHarmony, and I am all smiles. Now, you said, I have a great date. So have you already been on the date, or is it still, you still have the date coming up?
Which one?
Wow. Options.
Yeah, he told, on the phone, he told me he had a couple lined up.
Really? One gal. I won't say her full name. Vanessa. Very nice. And that was from eHarmony. And, one of my buddies said a lot of women on there are looking for a little bit more. You know, they're looking for just a little bit more than some of your typical sites where you don't pay. So I ponied up for it, and it's been, you know, I've had, as the, in the fishing sense, it's been a honey hole. It really has, and I got a spring in my step. Absolutely.
When you say they're looking for a little bit more, could you elaborate there?
Yeah.
No, that's, I mean, you find out. I mean, you got to put a feeler out, you know, kind of meet up in person. And this particular day, we went to the ski zone, Afton Alps, and we did some runs. And I don't ski. I'll be the first to tell you, I'm not the smallest guy, it wasn't good. But I tried. She said, "You got to try new things." Well, okay. Now it's her turn, and we'll do something I want to do next time. And that's, it's called, you know, give and take, and the push and pull of romance. And I had a really good time. I'll just say that it's been a refreshing to be.
What are you going to take her to try and do that she hasn't done previously, Randy? Oh,
well, the bars are open now, so you know, she's
a little COVID dodging, huh?
No, she,
some COVID frogger.
Just keep your space. You know, you can pull the mask down and do a rumpy or whatever you're going to do. But
I've tried this, Randy. It didn't work out well for me. I don't know if you should do that.
Well, you know, I got a pretty good ticker, so I'm not too worried about that.
You got a better ticker than Dex does.
Both. You're 2-0 on me there.
Yeah, but you're a big guy. I mean, there's lots of things that could go wrong, Randy.
Well, I would just suggest. Suggest to those, you know, who are looking for you know, a little romance, give it a shot. eHarmony, it's a little they make you do a big like a quiz, but I just Sponsor? Kept clicking. I just kept clicking all the first answers, so I didn't. I just get through it quick, and
like the COVID test,
they start coming in your inbox, and you know, so they said, what one of the gals said, oh. You know, looks like you also value, I forget what she even said, I value. I said, probably, I don't know what I clicked, but here we go.
And that doesn't seem very genuine and sincere. How are you supposed to make a sincere connection with these women?
It's a quiz. You know, you're not going to know all the answers.
I don't think it's I guess I've never used eHarmony, but like, I'm assuming it's more like they're trying to figure out who you are and what you like. They're not quizzing you.
I wear that on my sleeve. I like football. I like to get after it at the bar
or football.
I like bowling and softball and mocking, and if they ask what are your hobbies, I just said them all. That's you know, and you know, one gal said I don't really, you know, you do what you want to do just as long as you like to cuddle, and that's fine. You know, that's her hobby. That's fine. She can shop and she can cuddle. And I told her that, and you know,
the most stereotypical thing I've ever heard about a
Are you
woman.
More of a little spoon there, Randy?
I'm a bigger guy.
Well, sometimes bigger guys like to be a little spoon.
Well, I don't know. Hold on a second.
Oh,
it hasn't happened. Sorry.
Wait. You just said that she enjoys cuddling and shopping. Randy, there has to be more.
We'll find out. You know, that's not Vanessa. That's a different person. But
I hope Vanessa knows.
Whoa.
You're multitasking here, Randy.
Okay.
There's a lot of kissing, a little too much kiss and tell for my appetite. And really the main reason I was, you know, hoping to kind of run, you know, sort of do a little what they call a reckless speculation.
Didn't realize you were calling for that.
Phil dropped the ball.
Reckless speculation.
Yeah, you want to do reckless speculation? Here's a good one. I love you guys were talking about it, and I want to get my 2 cents. And I'm all for the Deshaun Jackson thing, and I think that'd be a good move. And if Houston, I don't even know they even have a GM at the moment, but.
And they just they just hired him.
Get him on the
Deshaun Jackson.
Deshaun Jackson is trying to figure out.
So if he's on the block, that to me that conversation is you got to be having that. You got to be having that, Rick, and you got to get it done. And if you can get Jackson for like Kirk and a cup, I would do Kirk. And I would do Kirk and a couple of firsts. I really would. I would do Kirk and a first this year and maybe a first in two years.
Seems like a lot to give up for Deshaun Jackson.
No, he's a stud. He watching him play, he's that kind of QB that I was talking about with the old high flying days of the '80s. And you can get that look now in a guy who can. I mean, heck, I'd even trade him Delvin. And I love Delvin. He makes me snug to watch him play. But if they said, okay, we want a running back, we want Delvin, and we want a first and Delvin, and then you dump Kirk off to the Niners or whatnot, and you get a guy in Jackson who can really lead this offense for a number of years. So if you're listening, Rick, you better be making that call. And if he ends up on the Bears, first of all, if he does, I'd take a flyer on Turbo. But if he ends up on the Bears, that's a whiff. It's a swing and a miss by Rick. You got the capital to make some moves. You really do, Rick. And this fan base would not be sad to see Cousins go to a different place and wish him all the best and kick his ass on the way out, because Jackson's a game changer. He's a playmaker. And I'd love to know what you guys think. But I got to go because I actually do have a Denise is beeping in here, so I gotta go.
Wow,
what is beeping?
Denise, he said.
Denise, well, which is different from Vanessa.
Yeah, right. No, he's so basically
he's playing the field.
He's playing the field, but it sounds like he's not being truthful with these gals about the fact that he is multitasking, which I think might be a problem.
I think it's very important to be truthful, and if they ask questions, you should give them an honest answer.
But what if they get mad about it?
Well, then that's on them. That's you being a good person telling the truth, you know? You should do that. That's the most important thing to do.
Denise might be hurt. Vanessa might be hurt. A lot of people might
get
hurt.
Well, maybe don't ask rhetorical questions. I don't know. One of the two. You gotta figure out what you want.
Don't ask, don't tell?
Yeah. I don't know about that.
Listen, a wise man once told me, don't ask the question you're not ready to hear the answer to.
It's a good piece of advice. Mm-hmm.
What would you guys give up for Deshaun Jackson?
Oh,
Deshaun Jackson?
God, I mean, he was...
one of the coveted seventh-round picks by Rick Spielman.
Or if you're the Twins, what would you give up for Manny Rodriguez? Yeah.
Circa 2008, a lot.
Manny Rodriguez was great in 2008.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he was. Alrighty, that's...
Sandlot, right?
Manny Ramirez? Randy, come on.
Benny the Jet. I couldn't help myself.
Phil Mackey, Judd Zogad.
Again, this is where perception and facts are going to meet in the middle here. You're going to be perception. I'm going to be facts.
Mackey and Judd.
All right. We wrap with Gassy Patrick Royce every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday on the show. You can find Royce Unchained every Monday on Apple, Spotify, ScoreNorth.com. It's Royce's weekly podcast. And he's on Monday Night Sports Talk with Joe Sutre, too. He's a man of many digital platforms.
Unfortunately, you could use that Gassy Patrick thing almost daily too. between the Diet Coke and other issues, it's pretty accurate.
Actually, we have conversations off mic a lot about like my ventures with spicy foods and Declan and stuff. What have you in 7+ decades on Earth? What have you discovered are your off limits foods? Well, I was saying drinks. You haven't drank in 40 years, so we're not going to count alcohol. But what really gets your stomach tied up, Pat?
Well, let's see. What I always said that Sid's secret of longevity was a boiler. He had the great boiler, the stomach. He was still eating spicy sausage at 98. I got a little of that going for me. That as far as foods I don't react well to. I don't know if there are any, but there's foods I won't eat. You know, fruit that squirts, I don't eat that. you know, too many vegetables. I don't mind vegetables if they're covered up. You know, and you know, like if I'll eat carrots if they're in a pot roast.
Okay,
if they're in there, but just a plain old carrot, hell no, never. I'm not a big tomato guy, but as far as I don't have that. There used to be a thing my father made and the boys in Fulda made. It was called Graubenwurst. And it was, they used to shoot a deer and they'd trade it to a farmer for a pig. And then they'd take the pig and basically the whole pig and grind it up. And they'd make this sausage that had barley in it and pig and, you know, pork and blood, and you'd fry it. You wouldn't, it would be in a casing, but you'd fry it. Ugh. You wouldn't boil it. Oh man, greatest stuff ever. But even as an 8-year-old, I couldn't get 5 minutes away from a toilet if I ate that stuff. That stuff, if they could put it in a bottle, we could put all of the you know, the various things to assist people and when they're having stomach problems, and this could replace them. It'd clean you out in about 2 minutes.
That sounds like a lot though, Pat. I mean,
oh man, it was my brother and I, after my dad died, tried to duplicate it many times, but we, you know, we could make a fair example of it, but it was never the same. Never the same. It was we used to have it in our basement in a big vat. He'd be making it downstairs in the basement. I go down there and eat it with my hands when I was a little kid before it was cooked, you know. So it was the greatest, but I don't know if anybody makes it anymore.
Hey Pat, good to see that Sid finally got awarded something after all these years. He passes. He finally gets that cherished Sports Writer of the Year award.
His arch rival Charlie won it about 20 years in a row when Sid was alive, and then Chip's been winning it the last 2 or 3 years, and poor old Sid had to wait to 100. But as I said on Twitter, I'm upset about this. I think he had an unfair advantage this year in the voting, don't you?
Stop the count. Stop the voting.
Stop the count.
Stop the voting.
Stop the steal.
Stop the steal from Royce.
I think Jeff gave him an unfair advantage. I'm protesting.
People always get soft and sympathetic when someone dies. You know, it's just
yes, they do. As I said about all those Sid columns I wrote 4 in a week, and I said I enjoyed. You know, it was fine writing that stuff. But having those stitches removed from my tongue was a little difficult. I had about an 8-stitch cut in there from biting my tongue when I wrote those columns for 4 days. But now the honors keep pouring in. There were people who were upset that Sid didn't win the Star Tribune Sports Person of the Year award.
Really?
Yeah, I got Twitter responses and comments. Should have been Sid. They put out a book on him, okay?
He has a statue downtown Minneapolis. I think he's fine.
A book, a special section, and a statue's
and
enough.
About three press boxes named after him.
Right.
Sid, yeah, there's multiple press boxes named after him. But that wasn't enough. They wanted to give him one last. And somebody tweeted to me, you know, many of the tweets were, I thought Sid was going to win, and my response was, so did he, or he wouldn't have left.
Pat, your thoughts on Liam Hendricks becoming a $50 million man with the Chicago White Sox?
I had heard a rumor they were going to sign him, and I didn't believe it, but man alive. Right now, they're 12 or 13 games better than the Twins. That team.
They're better. I mean, that's so. Yeah. So you're. I think the Twins are. I still think the Twins are 88 to 92 wins if they get Cruz back. But the White Sox might be a 100 win team. So
the White Sox might be the American League favorite. You know, they got better starting pitching on paper than the Yankees do, right?
Yeah, their offense is ridiculous.
Yeah, Houston's obviously not what they were. The National League's much stronger than the American League right now. They keep losing the American League keeps losing star players to the National League.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the White Sox might be the favorites. Now, they've disappointed themselves in the past, that's for sure. Refresh my memory. Who'd they end up naming as manager? Oh, Tony.
Tony.
That could screw it up.
Yep.
Yeah, well, how could I forget that?
Tony might goof him up.
Because I'm Tony's age, I was able to forget that. He's the one guy that can do it. You know what? They're going to hand Tony this ball club, and somehow Tony's going to want to take credit for what's going on with them instead of having the, you know, Tony's a raving egomaniac in his own subtle way, and he could screw it up, I guess. He could probably screw it up. So
AJ Hinch, Pat. He was right there.
Yeah, poor AJ. You could have had this club. You end up with the Tigers.
Yep.
Bad trade, AJ. Bad trade. But I don't know. I'm really curious about Cora, though, aren't you?
Yeah.
How that's going to work in Boston. Because he doesn't have a very good club there. I mean, they're not very good right now. So it'll be they think the changing managers and Cora is going to bring the magic back. Not with that collection.
Do you think so? The Twins are watching the White Sox, just like they traded for Lance Lynn, they added Liam Hendricks, and now last year I think it was late in January the Twins signed Josh Donaldson and made that big splash, and they added Kent Maeda. So they can still do things this offseason, but do you think they bring Cruz back? Do you think Jim Polat wants to keep the payroll under $100 million? What's your read on the temperature of the room over there right now?
I think they're getting Cruz to take 12 or 14 for 1 year with a $2 million buyout, and he's hoping that the National League has a DH and he can get a two-year deal, don't you think?
Probably.
That's what I'm hoping. But I don't know. If I have Nelson coming back, I want him to come back happy, don't you?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's got – that's part of his asset is he's good in the room. You know, everybody loves him, and you don't want him to say, you know, I'm beat up, because he'll get beat up. You know, I mean, he's going to be aches and pains guy at that age and that body, and you know, if you're not playing for his, if you were forced to take a contract you don't want, I'm wondering if the motivation to play that day is going to be as strong as it has been in the past. I mean, he ripped up his wrist, and we thought he was never going to play again. He was in the lineup 48 hours later. So that's the guy I want. I don't want a guy who's unhappy with you.
No. And I guess I don't really know, like, what's the downside in just giving him a two-year contract? Okay, let's say he flames out. I mean, it's not a 10-year deal. I just think it's worth the risk. He's been so good the last 2 years. It's worth the risk.
Yeah, and popularity-wise, that's for sure. But they really got to do something about the bullpen, too, don't you think? I mean, that was strength number one of that club, basically, last year. Rogers wasn't what he had been, but still, in a time when the bullpen's never been more important than it is now, how many guys are gone? Three or four, right?
May gone, Romo gone,
they
Clipper.
I'm not a big Whistler fan, but you know, the guy's ERA was zero. Why did they let him go for no money? It was really weird. And now I suppose they think those guys, you know, that those guys that they can tell to throw a slider 80% of the time are around there for 800,000 instead of 1.6 million, but I just don't get it.
Exactly.
I don't know what's going on with them, but right now they have done zero.
College football, Royce.
Oof.
That game again last night. It's predictable to us. It's boring. I mean, there's got to be there.
What would have
has to be something else here to fix this?
What would have Devontae Smith's totals been if he didn't have to leave at halftime.
Yeah.
He's 12.
Would have got 24 passes.
Yeah. He would have. I mean, yeah, it was embarrassing. It was just a track meet. Everybody, I've been saying this on Twitter, everybody who laughed at Notre Dame, why did they get to go? They held that team to 31 points and a 437 yards and 24 first downs. These guys going into the fourth quarter, what would they end up with? 600 and some, but they were way over 500 after three quarters when they pulled the dogs in. It was an embarrassment. I don't know. As I say, Texas, congratulations on hiring Sarkisian, because he's obviously an offensive genius that he can get something out of Najee Harris and Devontae Smith.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know who else could have? Me.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, when that Devontae's running right open down there in the middle, throw it to him. Okay.
It is funny, because I saw a lot of people lauding this, like, oh, the play calling and the scheme. It's like,
play calling.
He got him on a linebacker, now. A matchup with a linebacker. Sark is a genius.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Sark's going to go to Texas and do what everyone else does at Texas now, which is for the most part fail.
Go 9-4 and get fired. Yeah.
Yeah. It was that odd hire, man. You know, because when they fire him for 20 minutes, you think, oh, they must be having Urban Meyer. You know, he must have said he'll come to take the job. What's the Urban rumor now? Jacksonville?
Jaguars. Jacksonville. And it sounds like he wants $12 million a year or something.
Wow. Yeah. Well, he, that would be a mistake. He never took the NFL plunge, did he?
Nope.
He didn't. Not like Nick and something.
Nope.
This could be Nick's best team, don't you think? I mean, they aren't great defensively, but this could be the best of them.
The way that he reacted, so you can kind of tell sometimes by his reaction. He's won 7 national titles now, and after most of them, he's still very gruff in the post game because he's like still mad about the way that they played, or he's focused on recruiting. And last night, he was just happy as a clam.
He was tearing up at one point.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I didn't realize that he's allegedly a devout Catholic. He should go to confession. for having that, putting that team on the field with a bunch of, it's going to be interesting in this transfer era when you could just leave, if, you know, the Alabama guy who has to be, I mean, that running back last night that they put in when the other guy got hurt, did you see him, whatever, Miller or whatever his name was?
Yeah.
He's like 6'3", 225, running people through people, and he doesn't get to play.
Yeah, well, I mean, was it the national title game a few years ago where Jalen Hurts gets benched in the at halftime, and they bring in their backup, winds up being Tua Tagovailoa. Yeah. They bring in their backup in the second half of a national championship game because they can.
that's what I'm saying. Are those guys going to be sophomores and say the hell with it?
Transfer rules now, Pat. Just walk. Huh? Transfer rules now. Just walk and go play. Yeah, you're right.
Supposedly next month they're gonna have the one free one rule, that the one this year is gonna be permanent, that you can transfer once.
Yeah,
and then you can transfer again as a graduate, but you get one free transfer, and that's gonna change. That's gonna change a lot of things.
PJ,
boy, so can you? You can,
Tuscaloosa, you can be, just you, go hang out there.
You can find ways to recruit other teams' players would be great.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh yeah. It's going to be the FBI is going to be having to recruit that now. You know what? Judd and I were talking about this the other day, Phil. When you end up with two different recruiting periods every year, the transfers and the high school seniors, they're just going to forget it. The infractions committee, they're just going to have to, you know, somebody's going to have to be handing a kid a bag full of cash and have it on videotape for anybody to ever get caught anymore.
Yeah.
It's going to be an open season. There's the NCAA is basically washing their hands of the cheating, I think.
So. Yeah, I agree.
Well, they should. Let them cheat. It's more fun.
That's right.
Let them do steroids,
too. The good thing is, not only starting next year, Devontae Smith not only will go to Alabama, but he'll get to sell his own image. You know, that's going to happen. Now, you know, he'll be able to make money. So where are you going to make more money if you're a great player? Alabama or Minnesota?
Correct.
You know, I mean.
But we'll take the scraps, the backup kids. We'll take them.
Yeah, and Chip wrote a column again today about the 18 playoff, and that's fine. It's not going to save the outcome.
Right.
But if you want to go to a 8 or 16 team playoff, then we got to cut down these secondary bowl games to 20 instead of 50. Don't you think?
Yes.
I mean that's you can't compete with a 3 or 4 round playoff and still have these dumbass bowl games and expect us to take any interest in them at all.
Agreed.
I love that idea.
Agreed.
The secondary bowl games stink anyway.
Yeah.
That's not what Matthew Collar says.
No, I know.
Just I know. Pat,
I had a couple of talks with Collar. He's got Bills fever, baby.
I bet.
Oh, does he really?
He grew up a Bills fan, right?
I think he bailed on him.
His Bills are...
Bills know, envy, for sure.
I was talking to Craig Bohl today, the Wyoming coach, about Josh Allen. But this guy was completing 54% of his passes 2 years ago, and now he's like this monster.
How'd they fix that, Royce?
I think patience, which you don't see much in the NFL now. If a guy comes in and he stinks in the first year, he can't play. Get me somebody else in here. And they believed in him, and now they got him.
Yeah. We got to run, but we'll talk to you again tomorrow, sir.
All right, Jeff.
All right, Pat. That is Rappin' with Royce Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Fridays on the show. And you can find Royce Unchained with Judd every single Monday on Apple, Spotify, and scorenorth.com. And we will see you guys. By the way, Purple Daily, another episode of How to Fix the Vikings today. So we're doing two of those at least every single week until we officially fix them, which might take longer than this offseason. But check that out, too. Purple Daily and Mackie and Judd are the two shows every day that we are producing here. Plus, Royce Unchained and The Scoop with Doogie, all part of scorenorth.com. See you guys. Oh, by the way, a shout-out, too, before we go. Our friends at Corona are giving us the ultimate tailgate experience to give to you guys. Sweepstakes will award 6 winners with a Corona Game Day prize pack valued at over $3,500, including a 70-inch TV, wireless surround system, football furniture. That's right, football furniture.
Football furniture.
And much, much more. You can enter and see rules and all of the things at GameDayWithCorona.com. That's GameDayWithCorona.com. Must be 21 or over, live within a 40-mile radius of Minneapolis. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes subject to change. Enter by January 18th, 2021. And remember, Corona beer is imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. Relax responsibly.
Football. Yeah!